Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Last night, President Obama outlined his agenda for the second term in his State of the Union address. Among the proposals the president introduced last night were plans to increase the federal minimum wage, spend more to fix the nation's roads and bridges, and expand early childhood education. He also brought up several issues that have been divisive over his first term: immigration reform, climate change, and gun control being at the top of the list of issues where the president and Republican leaders are likely to disagree. Today, we want your reactions to the speech. Can President Obama accomplish what he outlined last night with bipartisan support from Congress? Or is the country facing even more gridlock in the face of a more progressive agenda? Now, there are several ways you can contact us on Vox Pop. One, you can post your comments at the bottom of today's show page on the Vox Pop section of our website. Go to WAMC.org/Vox Pop and then go down to the bottom of that page. Two, you can comment below today's Vox Pop wall post on our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/WAMC radio. Or three, you can tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop. And then number four, this is the one that we hope you do right away. You give us a call at 1-800-348-2551. That's 1-800-348-2551. Joining us with his analysis is our political observer and the chief. Alan, welcome back to the show, and nice job on the old fund drive, Chief.
Well, thank you. It's extraordinary because I am having, as Yogi says, deja vu all over again sitting across from you here, Ray.
Well, I apologize for that. Yeah. It was Patrick's idea, you know.
And, well, you should. So anyway, Ray, what I wanted to say is I think that the back piece of all of this is that the Republicans are on the run.
Okay.
I think in the first Obama term, he decided he was going to play it nice. He was going to be nicey-nicey and all the rest of it. But he ate their lunch, and he ate their lunch on a couple of different ways. Number one, we see Marco Rubio as the response speaker. That's because they absolutely got their lunch eaten in the Hispanic thing. I mean, you know, it was a wipeout. Also, in the woman thing. So now, along comes these, you know, Tea Party types. Everybody says, oh, the Tea Party, Americans are really, you know, right-wing and the rest. And it turns out they aren't, weren't, and won't be. So here comes Obama now feeling his oats, and he comes up with a whole program. If he gets it, if it happens, he's going to end up as a very important president. And if he doesn't get it, at least he's going to win the Congress back, I believe, because I think now you're seeing a lot of Republican congressmen saying we have to do better, we have to offer real alternatives, not just the same old stuff.
Well, now, that's a good point. You brought up Congress. Now, we have the midterm elections coming up in 2014.
Sure.
So it would seem to me that there is an imperative, if he wants to push things through, either via the Congress or his executive actions, it would seem to me that, you know, if history is any marker, he's going to lose some seats in 2014.
I don't think so.
No?
I mean, I think we've been treated to that kind of historical repetition again and again. But I don't think that's what's happening now. I think, remember, Ray, how everybody said, well, if the economy is in this shape, no president ever has ever won.
Yeah.
We clean the other guy's clock. So you can't always assume.
Okay.
I mean, I think that the Republican message is so anti-middle class that when you saw the president, last night go up there and talk about the middle class and how this is their kids and their pre-K and the rest of it, I think, you have five children, Ray, and I know you want the best for them. And that kind of talk has to have some resonance with you.
He talked about the fact that all of his proposals, and to some extent the proposals last night were of the modest variety. Not modest, but certainly not a sweeping, huge changes. And he had made the point that this won't cost one extra dime in the deficit.
One red penny.
But, however, he did say, well, there will have to be cuts to even it all out to pay for what I'm suggesting. So,
well, you know what he wants. What he wants is to have a decent tax code where the rich don't get richer. That's what he really wants.
Okay, let's go to the phones at 1-800-348-2551. And Marion Niski, you're on with Alan Chartok.
Hi,
Ray.
Gentlemen.
Hi.
I'm very excited to hear preschool being brought up. I think early education is a way out of poverty. My concern, however, is the governor and the president are both putting forth these mandates that are not necessarily long-term funded.
Hmm.
That has school districts right now are really in a quagmire. Niskayuna has $6 million they need to cut out of their budget. They're going to close a school. They may not be able to fund full-day kindergarten. These are really dire times, and when the government puts forth a suggestion of competitive grants or some type of subsidy, it's usually short-term, and then the school districts are left holding the bag in the end. I'd really love to see some more long-term planning.
Mm. It's a very interesting point. You know, when bosses give, love to give, instead of giving raises, love to give bonuses, because, you know, a bonus goes away. And your point is very, very well taken. I think there is a sort of a difference. At least I hear a difference between the governor and the president. You know, I think when I think the governor really has gotten away with it here. Basically, his numbers still remain very high. But he said to Niskayuna and everybody else, look, 2% tax cap. Right. And then you see the repercussions. The repercussions is a $6 million deficit with the schools because you can't raise the kind of taxes you need in order to do it. And the middle class loves that because it's taxes and it doesn't go down. But I just think I'm somewhat cynical about that, but I think I get the feeling that the president does want to bring people into the middle class. And after all, he started out as a community organizer, so that's my sense of it.
All right, Mary, thanks a lot for the call. Alan Chartok here, talking about President Obama's State of the Union address last evening, as heard here on WAMC. The number to call 1-800-348-2551. Bill in Albany, you're on.
Bill,
is this Bill?
Yes, okay, I'm sorry. Yes, I listened to President Obama's speech last night, and I was impressed, being a liberal progressive. I found it interesting, though, that there was a response from the Republican Party and the Tea Party. To me, that indicates there's a divide, and preaching to the choir, that there's some kind of divide between those two parties, the Tea Party and the Republican Party.
Well, don't you think that there's always a schism, if you will, between hard left or hard right parties and the mainstream Democratic and Republican parties?
But in the past, it's been a response by, let's say, the opposite party, Republican or Democrat, depending who's in the executive office. I just found it interesting that this year the Tea Party had a say.
Bill, I couldn't agree with you more. And even, I mean, that's just sort of metaphorical almost, you know, that they had this is symbolic of the change. But I think the Republicans are in real trouble because to this day, you know who votes in primaries? The guys on to the right in a party. And the Republicans know that in order to win the presidency, they got to get up back on the main track. They can't do it if the Congress and the people who are running for those offices aren't being subservient to the Tea Party. So they're really up the creek without a paddle, I think. Don't you, Bill?
I do. I agree. I think, and we've heard this metaphor before, where the monster, so to speak, metaphorically, the Tea Party has turned on its creator, the Republican Party.
Well, no. See, that's where we don't agree. I think that what happens is that when, and you see this throughout history, I saw it with Jacob Javits when, you know, the conservatives, it was Buckley, I believe, who starts to run against him. And here he was, a guy who Democrats could vote for. Javits could win. But when it came to the primary, out with him and in with a, quote, real conservative. And nothing has changed.
Well, here's how I see it, Alan, that the Tea Party couldn't, again, a third party, if you will, couldn't win it alone, as we all know. Right? Third parties don't win elections.
No.
So like a parasite, it attaches itself to the Republican Party, which is a major party, at one time mainstream party. And like a cancer cell, metaphorically speaking, it's eating away at the Republican Party.
But to Ray's point, that's always been the case. The Liberal Party, which turned out to be quite corrupt in the end, did the same thing with the Democrats, who needed them to win.
Mm. Hey, Bill, thanks a lot for the call. 1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number. You can also post your comments at the bottom of today's show page on the Vox Pop section of our website. You head over to wamc.org/VoxPop. You can comment below today's Vox Pop wall post on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC Radio, or you can tweet your comments and questions at WAMC Vox Pop. And, of course, we'd love to get your calls. 1-800, it's a call-in show after all, right?
Well, that's great. But all of the people of a certain age.
Right.
Will have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, the thing is.
But they'll have no. But the young people will.
Yeah. But the thing about tweeting, you get 140 characters. I mean, don't you want to go on a little longer than that on a show like this? I mean, obviously, right?
To quote my daughter when she was much, much younger.
Yes.
Whatever.
Right. And the phone number to call, that's how you really can engage Alan, is 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We'll take a short break and back with more of your calls coming up on Vox Pop.
Support for WAMC comes from the Tang Teacher Museum and Art Gallery at Skidmore College, providing exhibits, public events, and educational programs for audiences of all ages for the Capital District and beyond, 518-580-8080. Edward Jones, Uptown Kingston, Risa Condi, Edward Jones Financial Advisor, Making Sense of Investing, 845-331-6293. And Lexington Vacuum, Albany, New York, featuring Miele, Simplicity, Dyson, Electrolux, Vapori Vapor Cleaning, Sales Service Repairs, LEXIVAC.com.
Phone number to call is 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Alan Shartok is here. It's Vox Pop. And thanks to everybody who called in during the fun drive.
Yeah.
You know, it seemed like a sweet drive, didn't it?
It was sweet.
It was really nice. And it's good to be back at work again here. Jonathan in Norfolk, you're on.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hello.
I was just struck that if you read the inaugural and last night's speech, that I think the president has now, in a sense, hit his stride for a long-term program, which will probably come to fruition years after he's left office. Because, essentially, both the ideas of the inaugural and the details of last night are really quite long-term programs to fix issues like climate, like the healthcare system, like the educational system. It's a long-term slog, and I think he knows that. I think he is setting the political table for that. I think he may, they may win the House back in 2014 with the right climate, with the right presidential candidate in 2016, they will do because of the increased level of participation. But I think this is a program for the rest of this decade and next decade, and everybody needs to think of it in those terms and not be too impatient with it.
I think that's great. But when you listen, Jonathan, to Marco Rubio last night, I expected more. I thought that he didn't have that timbre in his voice that the president has, that authority and the rest. But don't kid yourself about the Democrats. They have the absolute ability to blow it and blow it, as we say, in the form of a circular firing squad, have done it many times and can do it again. So that this one brilliant man is, I think you're right, is going in the right direction. But don't think that the Democrats always will do that.
That's a good question. Is there a danger in your mind, Alan, that, you know, of overconfidence? In other words, the gun issue, as one example, extremely divisive. There are a lot of people, and I don't know about a majority, but a lot of people who say, hey, you're going too far here. In other words, is there a perceived mandate that perhaps should not be perceived?
Well, I don't know, because I saw a poll that said 79% of the American people are with him on the gun.
On background checks.
Yeah.
But now, I mean, but in a general sense, is there a danger of overconfidence here? We've seen it before.
There always is, but I don't see it from the president.
Okay. Let's go to Tom in Schenectady. Tom, you're up.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. As I had mentioned to your screener, I'm 57 years old. This is the first time in my memory that I did not bother to watch or listen to the State of the Union address, simply because I'm sick of being lied to. And it was only this morning that I discovered that Rand Paul spoke on behalf of the Tea Party, which I found really funny because the Republicans were actually given a chance to speak. And what I think is probably more to reality would be that whatever the State of the Union address was representative of both the Democratic and the Republican Party. And if there was going to be any type of response, it probably should have been between the Green Party and the Teabaggers.
Interesting. Alan, what do you think?
I think that both parties have been co-opted by corporate interests. They no longer serve the people. And I think that our country is suffering for it. And I'm actually at a point of absolute despair. I don't see things getting better. I don't think the president is going to do anything of value. The minute that big banks start getting broken up, that bankers are thrown in jail for trashing our economy, the minute that BP executives are held on trial for criminally negligent manslaughter, that's when I think things are going to change.
All right. Well, Tom, thanks a lot. Let's go to Abigail in Kingston. Abigail, you're on.
Yeah. Well, I'm so glad to be following the last caller.
Okay.
Because he made some good points. Truth, lots of truth. Anyway, I really did enjoy hearing Obama. I just love him. However, I would like to see him truly move to a more progressive place. And Alan, since you're so brilliant, a brilliant historian, tell us how we can get to a more progressive place. I will hang up.
All right.
And hear you.
Abigail, thanks so much.
I don't know.
Come on. Yeah,
no, but here's what. I think that if you do the people's business and you emphasize the middle class, the guy who really believes that he wants a job and he wants to work, if the perception is that this is all for the poor, then the guys in the middle class in America who are the voters turn their backs on you. And that is why the announced theme of the speech last night was going to be that it was going to be a reach out to the middle class of America. If you can say to them, listen, forget about putting people on Medicaid, because I know the president wants to do that. But what you really want to say is, we want to preserve your Medicare for you. We want to preserve your Social Security for you so that it will be there for you. We want to put your children and your grandchildren into pre-K so that they'll have a decent chance in life. And we want to rebuild the American superstructure, so that infrastructure, so that everybody gets a chance. And our infrastructure isn't crumbling, and we put people, middle class people, back to work. That is what I think builds the Democratic as opposed to the Republican fortress.
He's Alan Chartok. You're listening to Vox Pop on WAMC. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. Discussing the president's State of the Union speech, which you heard on WAMC last night, 1-800-348-2551. Alan, he also mentioned, the president, that is, mentioned the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan. 34,000 will be coming home. And he got some fairly robust applause, and I assume on both sides of the aisle,
one. You always get robust applause when you pull the turkey out of the fire, but everybody always applauds when the kids are going off to war. I mean, it's always been that way, and it's quite sad. But there were people who felt he should have had more than the people he's pulling out now. But he's doing it. He's going to get credit for it. I just hope we can remember some of the lessons of all of this.
Now, another one, and we'll get right to the phones in a moment, 1-800-348-2551. He mentioned very gradually, raising the minimum wage to $9 an hour by 2016. Yeah. Now, I think in his inaugural address, his first one, he talked about raising it to 950 or more than that by 2011. Obviously, that didn't happen. It seems like he's tempering his expectations to some extent.
Well, I don't think he's going to get it out of the House of Representatives. I don't think they're going to do it. I think as a result, they're going to get hurt. The Republicans in the House are going to get hurt. But let's face it, they represent the business class in America and the richest people in America. And if they can get $2 more per head on some guy who is doing their bidding, they're going to feel better about it. And they're not going to give money to have a progressive agenda met.
Okay, let's go back to the phones. Elaine and Ware.
Ware?
Ware?
Hi.
Hi.
Glad to talk to both of you today. I wanted to touch on gun control. Yeah. I 30 years ago, I was in college, and the first class I took was rhetoric, and I did a speech on gun control. And here we still are, you know, and never mind how many have died since Sandy Hook. I wonder how many have died in the past 30 years since I first gave my talk on gun control. Mm. So, and I see time going by, and I'm concerned that things are not happening, and that, and it's not just corporate America, but of course interest groups, and we know that the NRA is the most giving of organizations on both sides, you know, and they're using that money as leverage.
I'm thinking about this. What got us into the Iraq War, incorrectly, by the way, but more than anything else, we were going to get Osama because of 9/11. 9/11 is what did it.
You mean the Afghanistan war?
Afghanistan, yeah. Yeah, I mean, just the our adventures were to get Osama. Okay. Then you get the Connecticut situation, where these beautiful little children are murdered. I mean, these beautiful little children, each of us who have children of our own can just project ourselves into that situation. And boy, that turned the trick on the gun control. You know,
well, I'm a teacher. I think about this every day.
Sure. Sure. And so I'm just simply saying it's gone too far. Americans know it's gone too far. Ray said to me, you mean on making sure that everybody gets registered or whatever? No, I mean, I think it is not specific proposals. I think what's bothering everybody is that we're just letting it continue and we're terribly frustrated by it.
Okay. Right. Elaine, thanks a lot. We appreciate the call. 1-800-348-2551. Alan Chartok is our guest. We're talking about some of the ideas laid out in President Obama's State of the Union, as you heard here on WAMC last night. He touched on issues including gun control, voting rights, education, immigration, economic development, and we talked about raising the minimum wage. Back to the phones we go. Let's go to Ken in Stone Ridge. Ken, you're on.
Thanks. Hi, how are you today?
Good. How are you?
Good. I guess, honestly, I did not watch the speech. I figured I'd hear from you guys. But what I heard, read, whatever, and saw was that was missing was his total disregard, whatever, of our civil liberties in this country today. You know, the thing about the drone strikes overseas or the use of drones in this country that is spreading, the writ of habeas corpus, which he suspended, the Patriot Act, which he signed again. These are all very, very disturbing trends, and he has done nothing to reverse so much that we criticized George Bush for.
Hmm. Well, I assume that you tend to vote left of center, Ken, or am I wrong? So as someone who is voting that way much of the time, you are disappointed then by... I mean, do you feel let down from the original promises and the original promise
that you... absurd.
Say it again.
I said I think the idea of calling President Obama a progressive is absurd. You know, also he has done nothing about Citizens United except open up his own money, whatever you call it, 403B or whatever it is, to raise money for himself. So it's the things that we need to do are structural in our country, and a lot of them he's helped undermine.
Okay. Well, Ken, I appreciate your call very much. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. So, some on the left are disappointed, especially about perhaps the drone strikes. And today on our website, in fact, maybe up there right now, he talked about being more transparent with regard to drone strikes in the coming 4 years. I think that kind of ruins the program. If you're going to be transparent about it, if you're out to kill the bad guy, shouldn't it be sort of a surprise to the bad guy?
Well, I think he's got a problem, to tell you the truth, because, you know, drones have take collateral damage. And civilians who are around there.
When the bad guys are hiding among civilians, that's going to happen.
That's right. And on the other hand, there is this other problem, which is that the American people don't particularly like it, but they don't want to send their kids. So the idea of the drone being the substitute for the bodies of our sending our young people. When he says he wants to be more transparent, I don't think. By the way, I don't think he is regards himself as a. Although the Republicans see him as a radical,
an economic progressive, certainly correct.
Yeah, they certainly do, and they keep saying that, and he's a socialist, and he's this and that. So here we have, as you suggest, Ray, people from the right saying, you know, he's the devil, and you have people from the left saying he's not doing enough. The fact of the matter is he's a pragmatist. He's in the middle where he has to be in order to get any change done at all. If he had the House of Representatives, I think he would go much further. But he knows he's got to deal with these guys. And he's got to push them and push them and push them. And he's doing that. Look, he could be Jimmy Carter and he could be out of office,
yeah.
You know, or he could be the president of the United States. Would we be better off with him than with Mitt Romney? I think so. But he has to make those choices.
You know, taking Bill Clinton as a model, there's a guy who had Newt Gingrich to deal with, and he got an awful lot accomplished, at least as far as I remember. Maybe I'm looking at it with rose-colored glasses, but he seemed to have a great amount of support on the left and also a certain amount of begrudging respect from the right, and he got things done. Is that model attainable for Obama?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. I think he's doing that right now. And I wouldn't be one bit surprised to see us come out with some kind of gun control compromise. It may not be what we all want, but some kind of compromise with something for the junior colleges and the community colleges. I think you're going to find that he gets a lot done.
1-800-348-2551. Got an open line here. Let's go to Chris in Saratoga. Chris.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. There was just a man on Ken who was talking about the drone strikes. And first of all, you wanted to clarify that he was somebody who sort of voted left of center, okay? And I have to tell you, for one thing, I'm somebody who I'm a Ron Paul Republican,
okay?
I'm a libertarian. I voted for Robert Barr two cycles ago. I voted for Gary Johnson this past fall. And I have to say, the reason I cannot bring myself to vote for a Republican is because of this very issue.
Okay.
And the very simple fact is I'm tired of us being divisive about civil liberties. I actually think that civil liberties are something that bring us together, that we have to, if we distill what the American experience is, what its essence is, what makes it unique, it is our civil rights. And that's why when they're trampled upon by both parties that have been destructive, and you guys, I mean, I'm sorry, but you're not calling them out. Rachel Maddow calls out Obama regularly, and I applaud her for it. But you guys don't. And I'm really, I think we need to both come together. And frankly, and he's left of center. I'm certainly right of center. But this is a thing that I think if there's going to be a future for this country, for our children, for our grandchildren, for the world as a whole, it has to be centered around a common understanding of civil liberties.
Okay.
And so when Obama suspends writ of habeas corpus, when we see what's going on with all these other things, drones, all the legislation being passed without totally ignoring the Constitution, I think it disturbs a lot of people.
All right, Chris, thanks a lot for the call. Make your point beautifully. Thank you. Lee in Ulster. Lee, you're on.
Hi, I wanted to ask Dr. Shartok, the after the speech chatter that spoke so much to whether Obama was conciliatory enough towards the Republican positions to get cooperation.
Mm.
I get impatient with that.
I'm with you.
With that tape.
I'm with you. He tried that the first term and he didn't get anywhere with it.
And
now he's eating their lunch. He's eating their lunch with the Hispanics. He's eating their lunch with the women. He's eating their lunch. And you know what? Nobody saw it coming. The Republicans did not see it coming. I think Mitt Romney is still in shock that he's not the president of the United States. I don't think he understands it.
I swear, Alan, my line about this is, you know, McConnell let Obama stare at his nostril hairs every time he came near him about anything. He had a good student in front of him. The guy learned.
Yeah.
And now they're paying for it. But is he using it effectively? I don't object to the things he wants to do. I wonder if he's spreading it too thin in a certain kind of way, and it's going to be difficult to get anything by.
You know what? I think he's smarter than I am.
Mitch McConnell or President Obama?
No, not Mitch McConnell.
Okay.
No, I'm saying that with the icicles dripping off of my breath. Not Mitch McConnell. Okay. So, Lee, I think you make some profound points, and if I weren't more tired, I might be able to answer some of them.
I don't know why you'd be tired. Lee, thanks a lot for the call. It's not like you did anything for the last 10 days.
I mean,
come on.
Sheesh.
1-800-348-2551 is our phone number. Alan Shartok is here. We hit the home stretch on the Vox Pop, the first one post-fun drive coming up.
Way to go.
Support for WAMC comes from Hildene, the Lincoln Family Home, Manchester, Vermont. Historic home, Pullman car, museum store, and walking trails open daily year-round, 9:30 to 4:30, hildene.org. Charles Padula, DDS, Union Avenue, Schenectady, providing bonded composites and air abrasion decay removal, which helps to eliminate needles and drills, paduladds.com. In Ashfield Stone, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts, quarry and fabrication, rare and wonderful native stone of the Berkshires, used for enduring landscapes and interiors, including countertops and floor planking, ashfieldstone.com.
Vox Pop on WAMC. Alan Shartok is here. The phone number to call, 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Joined by our affable producer, Patrick Donjes, who has...
Not only affable, but terrific. I mean, this guy is so smart.
Not only affable and terrific, but tolerable as well. Patrick Donjes, you have some stuff from social media.
Yes, we have Rich on Facebook said Obama's State of the Union was okay. The Republican response was ridiculous. They want less government and less regulation. They want us to rely on the private sector. But it was the private sector which created to the biggest economic problem, and that, okay, and that's that. Julian on Facebook says, could Ellen please explain why there was a Tea Party response to the State of the Union? We have Republicans and Democrats. Who or what decides that Ron Paul gets a platform on national TV? Why not Bernie Sanders if they're putting on Ron Paul?
Okay, we were talking about that, and
now,
that's a good
Republicans
question.
Republicans had to give up some of their time. Is that what happened?
I do not know. But, I mean, it's really up to the TV station, right? I mean, you, Patrick Donjes, could represent the Crazy Bird Party and have a response, but if nobody covers it, no one cares.
Right, and that was along the same lines, I think, as the debates where there was people complaining that, you know, Gary Johnson or whomever was not being included.
And that happens in every debate.
Right.
You let the third party in, you let the fourth party in. If you don't let them in, how can they ever get any adherence?
And
all the rest of it. And as you remember when Mario Cuomo did it, they accused him of, quote, dwarf torsing.
Mm.
Yeah, which is not always the most politically correct term.
No, you don't say that.
Anything else there, Patrick?
That was it.
Thank you.
That's all that came in?
For now.
Okay.
Right.
We're monitoring the social media that's... WAMC.org/VoxPop, Facebook.com/WAMC Radio, and of course on Twitter at WAMC VoxPop.
Okay,
Alan hates that when we say the slash and everything else.
No, I don't hate it.
No?
I don't hate it. I just think it's very important for WAMC to have this group of people coming in, and I think it's going to help us in terms of younger people getting involved in it.
All right, fair enough.
Hopefully.
Fair enough. That's the plan.
Thanks, gentlemen.
Yes. Is it Dowd or David in Rochester?
It's Dowd.
Hey, how are you? You're on.
Good, how are you?
Good.
I migrated to this country in 1974 from Pakistan, and the basic reason was the civil liberties. And I'm a healthcare professional, and my experience is that there are three basic human needs: the education, healthcare, and shelter.
And what's
and
the third?
Shelter.
You say shelter was the third one? Yes. Okay. Go ahead.
Shelter. And all those three things are privileged in this country, which is very sad. We are the most resourceful country on this face of earth. And the other comment I have, which Republicans have done it too, and President Obama has mentioned it too, about the level playing field. When we talk about China, we talk about other, you know, countries who export to this country. And one thing we forget, that in our own country, we don't have a level playing field. For example, if we take the case of the local pharmacy, the drugstore, the people are not giving the playing field. People have to send the drugs to the mail order pharmacy from somebody's medication coming from cancer, somebody's coming from there. So it's a all big corporate game. Unless we straighten our own house, we cannot get anywhere.
All right. Hey,
I'll listen to the answer off here, please.
Well,
thank you.
I thank you very much.
And you know, the great thing about this program is we don't have to give an answer. You know, people call
up. You state your case clearly and concisely. Then
you go away.
Well, that's nice. Let's go to Norman in Great Barrington. Norman, you're on.
I want to call your attention to Rubio's first couple of sentences, which I think most people didn't pick up. He was doing the patriotic number, and he wanted to draw a distinction between the United States and some other countries, unnamed. And he said something like this: unlike America, there are countries who have a few people at the top that call all the shots. I did a double take.
Mm.
And where was he? Where is he? Where are they?
It doesn't matter, Norman. It does. I mean, you can argue. It doesn't really matter, Norman, because the fact is that what they're doing is they're giving a propaganda line. And the
he embarrassed?
No, of course not. No, he's the look of the future for the Republican Party. That's why he's up there. That's why he's up there. Saying, here's a guy, he's Hispanic. We hurt with Hispanics, we'll give him Hispanic. On the Supreme Court, one of the great ironies was Clarence Thomas, who had nothing whatever to do with black aspirations in this country. And I found myself comparing these two guys. And by the way, when I heard him, I expected more. I did. I thought he would be more substantial than he was, but he sounded, sort of like a professional Paul.
Norman, thanks a lot. Now, are you suggesting then that Rubio is only up there because of his Hispanic background?
Well, let's put it this way. Not only, but certainly, you want me to give you a percentage?
No, but
89% because of his Hispanic background? Darn right, that's why he's up there. They got clobbered. One of the big reasons that they did so badly, and so now they take the quick fix. They say, okay, let's get our Hispanic guy out there.
All right, let's go to Beth in Schenectady. Beth, you're on.
Even though his message isn't right.
Okay. I didn't hear that. I don't know what
No, that's all right. Don't worry, Beth.
Okay. So I can only watch this in fits and starts, any of them. But anyway, it's not my line. It's a famous line. I'm going to say Velvet Club, which is not nightclub. Obama speaks in this lovely tone of voice, but I find it very forceful anyway, personally. But he's deported more people than ever, than anybody else in history. He's about to be declared a war criminal by the International Court. So I don't see, and when you see the Democrats, and then I just turn it again, I see that thing about the Democrats and Republicans hand-holding or clapping over something. You know they're up to no good. The border thing is going to be a nightmare with the age limit, and it's avoiding all the real issues. So it's just
what are the real issues?
Well, you know, it's the usual, the lower class, the tightening of the noose around the neck of the lower class. The college is a joke. Nobody can afford to go to college. The fact that we aren't paying reparations to Afghanistan, we've just gone and blown up the Middle East and not paid reparations, and now there's planes flying around, mechanical planes that are basically taking out hits. I don't even want to be any. I used to watch politics, stare at the TV. I can't even watch them talk anymore. It's so bad.
Well, you can listen to us. I mean,
or you can listen to you.
Yeah, that's another option.
That's why you're here.
So I'm not under.
But Yogi said, you know, nobody can go to college, but a lot of people are going to college. A lot of people are going to junior colleges. A lot of people are going to Beth too. And I mean this respectfully, but as Yogi always said, this place is so popular, nobody comes here anymore.
I mean,
an awful lot of people are going.
If you believe, you know, if you take the president at face value, what he said. Hmm. And I think that everyone's got to take everything they hear from a politician, regardless of who it is, with a certain amount of salt.
Salt is bad for you.
He is attempting to rectify some of the things that Beth was talking about with regard to education.
I agree with that.
And so I guess it comes down to your level of cynicism in everyone. And,
I like it.
And you know, we'll find out. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551. Oh, boy. Now we're in trouble. Carl from Palatine is on. Hi, Carl. How are you?
Is this the Count von Ray speaking?
Yes. Blah, blah, blah.
I'm guessing you're a Palatine, whether you know it or not.
I'm a Palatine. I don't know, but what's on your mind, sir?
Yes, sir. The speech, of course. First of all, you guys proved what a fine radio station this is.
Why? By airing the speech?
By your fundraiser.
Oh.
By how you attracted people, by how you reacted without a teleprompter.
One thing Alan doesn't need is a teleprompter.
And especially by the impromptu comments after 6 in the morning, which kind of hooked me. Unfortunately, they make me wake up.
So what's on your mind about the president's speech?
I'm thinking of Judy Garland I listen to it. Uh-huh. Birds fly over the rainbow. Why, then, oh, why can't I? I'm thinking that Alan with a plunka, 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 and the Count with his trombone should have played music.
Carl, you are one of a kind, my friend, and your Beethoven joke was just terrific. 1-800-348...
Decomposing.
Decomposing was his joke, and that was Carl's joke. 1-800, and frankly, it caught me off guard. I didn't remember the answer. And, boy, I'll tell you what. Always nice to have a call like
decomposing.
That. Let's go to Janet in Steventown. Janet, you're on.
Hi. The speech went by me pretty quickly of Rubio, but I did hear when he addressed the immigration issue how he said, you know, he got all excited building it up, you know, and he said, and we want to bring in the best and the brightest.
Yeah.
And I thought, but that's not what allowing people into this country is about, bringing just the best and the brightest. His parents weren't the best and the brightest. They were good people. And the other thing that I find troubling is every time he refers to what his parents did, his dad was a bartender, his mother worked as a clerk, it's as if that was low. You know, he's demeaning those jobs. A bartender is a very prestigious.
But Janet, first of all, I agree with you. But yeah. it is fascinating that he's. You have to remember who he is. He's a Republican.
Sure.
So he
which
asked
is, by the way, not akin to being a criminal. Just saying.
But Raymond, hear the icicles in my voice. Did I say anything about?
No, but I think the implication was clear.
No, not at all. He's a Republican. I'm a political scientist. I have to tell you what he's doing.
Okay.
What he's doing is throwing something to the masses who turned on the Republican Party on immigration, and at the same time, he is saying to the Republicans who he needs to nominate him and fund him and feed him and the rest of it, I'm really on your side, and I'm going to take out this stuff and say we want only the best and the brightest. And I think Janet makes a very good point.
Janet, thank you so much for the call. 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. We're here with our political scientist, Alan Chartok. We're welcoming your calls. Sean in Shelburne, you're on.
Hey, Alan. Sean from Shelburne Bay, Vermont. First, I want to thank you for last week playing my math teacher. I haven't heard that in 47 years.
That was
my pledge. If you play National Brotherhood Week, it's still
I was. By the way, I was going to do that. That was the next. That was the next one.
Or with our friend from Montpelier about the environment pollution. That stands up too. He knew about fluoride back in 1965 and toothpaste.
It's one of the great truly, I know it's diversionary here, but one of the great talents, lost talents in the United States.
Absolutely.
I mean, that guy was
so... Is he gone now, Tom?
Well, he's still alive because he was actually my tutor.
No, he's alive.
Oh, he is. Oh,
He had to make... I believe he's still alive. Maybe he's not. But he had to make a decision as to whether he wanted to keep teaching at you know where, or whether he was going to do this. Now, I think his contributions. So Ray comes in, he's holding his head, and he says, I had to do the new math with my kids last night, and I don't understand it. I said, oh, I'll fix that.
Yeah, that was great.
That's actually true. He told me everything on that is actually true, even though it's a comedy. He was a math, that was his profession.
Truly,
really.
Right.
You don't realize.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that'd be a great idea for 1 hour if he is alive. You get him and talk about
it. I don't know if he's alive. These things, these obituary things drive me crazy. You think you saw somebody go by, but you're not really sure.
Well, you know the guy who will know is Brian Shields. The first thing he does when he gets to the office is check the obituaries.
Oh, I do too.
Do you?
It was a wonderful Lee Hayes line. He checks the obituaries. If he's not there, he goes back to bed.
Sean, thanks a lot for the call. Let's go to Cheryl in Sunderland. Cheryl, you're on.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just want to dovetail the comments by the Pakistani gentleman of the three fundamental jobs of society, education, shelter, and health care. What happened to food? And I need to comment on what's happening to our food supply in corporate America.
Yeah.
And it's the Transition Network globally, which is taking back the local grassroots control of both the economy, you know, with local economies of sustenance, food, and energy. You know, we have a petrochemical ionosphere that spans the globe and is, frankly, making irrelevant nationalistic borders. And, you know, this is all in tune with the Bilderberg, of course, and I don't want to bring up a bad word, but, you know, here they are meeting. And, you know, these are the people that have been handpicked and selected to power, from Kerry to Obama to all of these leaders. So just a voice for food. And my guess is if you could survey people and ask, where do you buy your groceries? I haven't gone to Sloppy Shop or Pigsty, Big Y, for a number of years.
Hey,
and,
hey, that's not nice.
I think it's affecting my IQ. I think I'm getting too smart. I haven't watched TV since 93, and, you know, I didn't watch the President's Address, but I am listening to you folks, and I appreciate your call very much.
You know, the one thing you could say, well, if all the leaders are from the Bilderbergs and all the leaders of the countries are all in on it together, then why are we killing each other across borders?
Well, I think
is that to fund the industrial machine?
Right. Sure, and the war machine and all the rest. That's what somebody would say to you.
All right, would you say that, sir?
No, okay. I don't think so. I think the reason is that people are in different tribes, and the inherent in the mankind gene is to kill each other.
Yeah, well, there's competition, right?
It's pretty simple.
All right, and
I, by the way, happen to shop at the Big Y. So
I don't know what the Big Y is.
It's our supermarket in Great Barrington and in Pittsfield, and like I said, they do a very nice job. And I don't like anybody getting put down on our air.
All right, fair enough. Well, we got a couple minutes here. Why don't you vamp for me on your thought about the next? Well, no, let's not say the next four of President Obama, but let's say up until midterms in 2014. What gets done, what doesn't get done, and then what happens the day after the November election in 2014?
Well, first of all, there's an old saying in politics, which is, I may not want to win, but I sure want the issue. Now, the issue he's got now, he's got several issues, and he's got the Republicans on the run. Obviously, he's got the gun thing, which massive numbers of Americans agree has gone way too far. He may get it, he may not get it, but one thing he's going to get is more Congress people elected if they take the bait and go in the other direction. I think that's true. On immigration, we are a nation of immigrants.
Nation, arguably, of legal immigrants who went through proper channels. I think that's what the Republicans would say.
Yeah.
Those are all are welcome who go through the channels.
And when you were on the Mayflower, you showed your passport to get here?
It wasn't a nation then. I have my ancestors were on the Mayflower.
Nation of Indians, and I'm not surprised that your ancestors, with your attitudes, were on the...
Oh, really, sir?
Yeah.
I see no reason for personal invective here.
It wasn't invective. You're the one who raised it. And so I just answered you.
I see.
Okay, so you've got the Hispanic thing, you've got the women thing.
Now, what is the women thing?
Well, women are coming in their own and into their own, obviously, and should be politically in every other way. And you saw in the incredible turnout and the numbers in the polls that one of the things that happened to Mitt Romney was that he got really killed in that. Now, these Republicans who are now running their national committee and everything else don't know what to do. They're taking a look at this stuff. If they go with him, he wins and he gets the credit for it. And as somebody said earlier today, the next 16 years is all sort of set up. If they don't take it, he's got them by the tail because he's pinching because mixed metaphor.
Yes.
Because they're being so stupid about the way that they're playing it. And I don't believe, by the way, I'm going to make some enemies here, but my left, way to the left colleagues who say he's no good, you have to compare to what? Compared to Mitt Romney, he's good. Compared to the guys on the Supreme Court who brought us, the Republican judges who brought us Citizens United, what does he think he's doing? What do they think he's doing?
Well, on that happy note, we're going to have to wrap it up
here. Was that enough?
That was you, splendid. Let's just tell everyone we're out of time, and we thank you all for calling, and thank you for tweeting and joining us on Facebook and whatnot. Dr. Alan Shartok was our guest. Support for WAMC comes from Cranwell Resort, Lenox, Massachusetts, serving small plates. Serving small? I put my glasses on.
Small. That's what you get in the beginning. You can have a small plate or a big plate.
Let me put my glasses on here.
No, that's right. Small plates.
Okay. Serving small plates in the mansion, including petite filet mignon, black and white sesame tuna, and a cheese tasting, open nightly, cranwell.com. At Mountain Flame, presenting the Essie Ironheart cast iron wood-fired cooking stove for cooking, baking, heating, and optional hot water. Showroom, Route 28, Arkville, New York, mountainflame.com. Well, that's it for the show. Boy, I wish it could go for another 6 or 7 hours, but I guess we'll have to wrap it up here. Remember, the conversation continues online at wamc.org/voxpop. Our engineer, the sterling Zachary Malloy. Your calls were answered by Colleen O'Connell. Our producer is Patrick Dantas. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow's program, Patrick says we have a special Valentine's Day edition of Vox Pop.
Oh, great.
Oh, wouldn't that be lovely? Stay tuned now for a news update.